Jude identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. And we understand then James and Jude to be two of the brothers or half-brothers of our Lord. But like James, Jude refers to Jesus Christ as his Lord too. And thus, the one who was his half-brother, he and James and the other brothers came to recognize as the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of his one chapter letter in the New Testament, Jude wrote these words that I bring to your attention. Jude, beginning at verse 17. But ye, beloved, remember the words which have been spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they said to you, in the last time there shall be mockers walking after their own ungodly lusts. These are they who make separations, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. One cannot read this brief letter from Jude without having the sense of a crisis that had come upon God's people. We would like to know more about it, but Jude does give us some information about the threat, the spiritual threat posed against God's people at that time, and how Christians should respond to it. But he focuses his attention upon the larger question about the ongoing concerns and duty of God's people. There are many such passages as the brief one that I read near the end of his letter that we may look upon as a summation of God's handbook for living. Here we have to do with how to live and what to do as God tells us, speaking to us as Christians and speaking to us as the church. He calls attention to the resource when he refers to the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he issues a warning that was applicable to that time. But as we read it, we think about its applicability to our own time and every time and place in which God's people have lived. There have always been threats, and there is always the need for such warnings. The dangers are ever present. And then he speaks of a duty in verses 20 through 23. It's a manifold duty. There is included in this duty a program for spiritual stability and growth. And there's also an outline concerning the practice of reclaiming the weak and the wandering. The last verse that I read, verses 22 and 23, speak of either two or three categories of people, our brothers or sisters, whom we are to seek, knowing their weakness or their need or their danger and seeking to bring them back. The translations have a difference in how many different kinds of people are mentioned here. But whatever be the solution to that difficulty, we can see the need for wisdom in this matter. Not everybody is suffering from the same danger or sins or problems, and we need to make the approach that is appropriate for each person. But having outlined that for you, this handbook for Christians and for a congregation in service to God about how we should meet the seasons, the times, and the needs of our own day, I want to call attention to something else that occurs to a person in studying this. There are implications in what you read in these words, implications in these guidelines about us, about Christians who would take seriously these words in this manual for our lives as God's people. There is a frame of mind, a spirit, an attitude, whatever you may want to call it, that must characterize us if we're going to hear these words rightly and then rightly respond to them. There are qualifications that must be found in us spiritually if we are to obey these guidelines and do so with the intention of God for our spiritual steadfastness and strength and for service that will glorify Him and help one another. One of those qualifications or attitudes, ever how one may represent it, is the proper regard for the Scriptures, and especially for the New Testament. When Jude says in verse 17, "Remember you the words which have been spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ," he had in mind that revelation of God given through his Son and through him to the apostles and to their associates. He speaks of no other resource. It's calling the attention of the church and individual Christians to that which will help them in those times. He speaks only of the Word of God. Of course, the New Testament is the culmination of God's revelation as given in the Old Testament. And that is in view as well when he speaks of the apostles' words, because the apostles often cited the Old Testament and showed the link between the Old and the New, and how the New fully reveals what was the purpose of the Old and what has been foretold by the Old Covenant. But what we're concerned here with is that we have the spirit of reverence and appreciation for the Scriptures that Jude knows must be the first thing set in order in us if we're to follow these guidelines, that we must be a people who study those words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that in studying them, our intention is that we do so to strengthen our faith, that we come to believe fully what God has told us through his apostles, and that we see that it meets the need for every hour, every situation, every development, every challenge that we will ever face in life as individuals or families or as a congregation. That in believing these words, we obey them, and that we make sure that we are consistent in doing so, that in everything that comes before us, whether it be an opportunity for service or in giving instruction that will set things along the proper lines according to God's will as a congregation or for our own lives, that we are attentive to what God would have us to do. When Jude speaks of this threat that was posed by some of these men that had become scoffers, one thing he says about them is that they're sensual. One translation renders that as natural instincts. Here are men that have no regard for God's word. If they once did, they no longer did. And now they follow their own opinions and judgments. Whatever they feel to be right is what they want to do, and they want the church to do. That must never become the attitude or the approach that we take towards service to God. We must be a people who remember the words. In this case, it's brought to our attention as the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not seeking new words. We're seeking the teaching that we have had that has come by the authoritative channel of revelation from God through his Son and through those men. Another implication that we see in reading this manual for life for an individual, a family, or a congregation of God's people is that we must have the insight and perception concerning the spiritual needs and crises of the times. There are some people who distinguish themselves, it seems, in being able to see these things clearly. It's not a matter of human wisdom, though, that Jude is talking about. Here are people who, because they are paying close attention to what God says in the Scriptures, they're able to see the correlation between what they read in the Bible and what they see happening around them. In other words, when they read the Scriptures, they become informed in how God wants them to see the world and life and people and all things in life. And then when they see those things, they see them as God's word guides them to see them. That too takes study, the spending of time in God's word, and the taking into one's very spirit the word of Christ and allowing it to abide in us so that our vision is clear and we can see all things for what they really are, whether pleasing to God or displeasing to God, whether helpful to us or a danger to us. And then a third implication that comes to mind when we read these words concerning the spirit that ought to be in us if we're going to fulfill what these words call upon us to do, is that we must be a people of seriousness about these most important matters. We can't be dabblers in these things. We can't be people who treat such things as this as a sideline or matters for Sunday. And then on Monday, we get on with the real business of life. No, a Christian reads these words and he sees it this way. This is life. And this is how God wants me to see life. And in seeing it in this way and in living by these words, then we will know all the good that God will bring to our lives. Ignore these words and we're in trouble. And we will remain in trouble. And so then in the seriousness of this attitude, we study again the scriptures. We pay attention to the right words and let those words guide us. And we want to be people who fight the good fight, as Paul said to Timothy, or war the good warfare, as he also said to him. And as he said of himself, I have fought the good fight. And as he said to all Christians, to stand in the Lord strong and put on the armor of God, because we're involved in a struggle. And that struggle will never cease as long as we live in this world. It will not cease until he comes who gained the victory, in whom is our faith, him whom we love and in whom we have believed and given our lives. And when that one comes, whom God vindicated by the resurrection from the dead, then all these things will be made clear to everyone, and it will be clear to themselves where they have been in this fight, this good fight, whether with it or against it, or indifferent to it. We are to keep ourselves close to God, said Jude. When he gives that instruction, he does so by appending to it three things that will help us to keep ourselves close to God. And keeping ourselves in the love of God, or close to God, or where God wants us to be, where he can shower his blessings upon us in his love, where we can be receptive to all of that and appreciate it, then there are things that we can do to help that cause in our own lives. And so we build up ourselves on the most holy faith that has reference to the body of truth, the gospel with all of its teachings. And we pray in the Holy Spirit, which means that we recognize what Paul said about the communion of the Holy Spirit, which is ours. We are people of God who have the blessing of spiritual life by the Spirit of God. And living in that, we pray with an earnestness and a fervor of a spiritual communion with God. And the Holy Spirit is a helper for our prayers, even as Christ is our intercessor at the right hand of God. And we look for mercy. We look for that mercy that will come to us unto eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that will help us to keep ourselves in the love of God. And as we do these things, we do so with a humility that all of us, to some degree, are vulnerable to these dangers. And we must ever be on guard. And some of our brothers and sisters have fallen into some of these dangers. And we must have a heart and the wisdom and a willingness to be of help to them, to rescue them. But the way Jude pictures this, he reminds us that when we seek to rescue those that are fallen, some of them are on very dangerous terrain. And we must be careful. Careful about how we go about that, and careful about what we say. He's not the only one who spoke this way. Paul did also in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Notice that at the end of this epistle that there is a prayer. It's a prayer of hope and encouragement and confidence that we may have as we read it as Christians. Now to him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish and exceeding joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power before all time and now and forevermore. Amen. Such a prayer as that is a prayer that calls for study of every phrase and the words even that are used, even singular words, as well as in their combinations. It is a prayer that's rich in meaning, but the overall effect of it is to strengthen us in our faith in God through Jesus Christ and to embolden us, to give us greater courage and assurance in our service for the Lord. These are words that belong to our fellowship with God through Christ and the communion of the Spirit. These words belong to no other people, but they can be cherished by anyone that would come to God through Jesus Christ, confess Him, and be baptized into Him, and become a part of this fellowship of the faith. Let us stand and sing.
Oh, to that the word departs.